Our last speaker is Yufeng Zhao, who will be telling us about an aesthetic approach to the integration of faith and science.
Good afternoon. My name is Yufeng, and I'm a teacher at Corbin University teaching physics. So my topic today is just to use the Genesis chapter 1 to extract some universal principles of aesthetics. I call it aesthetic principles to apply to science. So Genesis chapter 1 is normally viewed by the secular society as the mythology. Even Christians, we treat that narrative simply just as a narrative. But the question here we want to ask, is really Genesis chapter 1 just a narrative, or a review of some big ideas? So this is mainly the purpose of this study. So to do this, to find an answer to this question, I did a cross-cultural study by comparing the oldest Chinese classic, the Book of Changes, to Genesis chapter 1. This picture shows that the basic derivation of the Book of Changes has exactly the same structure as Genesis chapter 1. What does it mean? It means the metaphysical foundation of the two narratives are exactly the same. But interesting enough, the Book of Changes use the images, or symbolic images, not imagery in literature, not the normal imagery in literature. But if you read the format of Genesis chapter 1, you find the imagery is very carefully designed for a purpose more than, deeper than just a narrative. It's actually through the comparison, I see all the universal principles actually emphasized in the Book of Changes is actually viewed in Genesis chapter 1. So based on the picture, you can see, you can see that immediately they both actually start from God or the ultimate one. So you can see that there's a clarification here. The Book of Changes is not dualism. The a fundamental misconception about the Book of Changes is it is all about the dualism, but it's not. Based on this picture, clearly this is the monism. So based on the ultimate truth, the ultimate one, which is equivalent to God. So then why people just misperceive that this the Book of Changes is dualism? This is because this misconception does point to something that is very important due to the holy nature of God. He always created the things in two modes. For contrast, this is the first universal principles I want to show here. So based on the holy nature of God, he always creates the two modes. And one mode is similar to God's nature, and the other one is just the opposite. And this is called the paradox reality, or fundamental tension. The fundamental tension basically tells that the spiritual reality is primary, and physical reality is secondary. And we call this primary as truth, the secondary as falsehood. That does not mean it's unreal. It is real, but we just call it falsehood to oppose the primary truth. So the two modes really reveals something very contradictory to our secular worldview. This is biblical worldview. So, and we call the spiritual thing as truth. The physicality is falsehood. This is called a fundamental tension. Fundamental tension is the eye opener. It always forges conflicts and the contrast. It opens our eyes to see the truth, because we are often deceived by what we see in this world, which is totally against the phenomena we see is mostly against the truth. So this type of fundamental tension or paradox reality is actually supported by modern science. If you consider the two pillar theories in modern physics, one is the theory of relativity, and another is the quantum mechanics, you will find the proposition of both theory pointing to the absoluteness of the meaning of physical law and the secondary of matter. The theory of relativity says that in order to ensure the physical law are absolute, then we are forced to believe or to admit matter is relativistic. Even space and time is relativistic, just to ensure that physical law must be absolute. Similarly, the quantum theory also tells us that, you know, the matter itself must be uncertain or probabilistic in order to ensure that physical laws are certain, 100% certain and deterministic. So both theory pointing to the point of paradox reality, that spiritual reality or the meaning is primary. So yeah, this is the starting point of our study. And as Lao Tzu said, this is the gate to all wonders. So that's why I called it, these are aesthetic principles, because you see the beauty. And the scripture gives this nice pattern, day, night, and day go transit to night through evening, night transit to day through morning. And this is repeatedly presented in chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1. And the Book of Changes give a deeper interpretation. And this pattern is called a universal cyclic paradigm, showing the regeneration of all the created world, all the natural resources regenerated through this paradigm. And this is actually called the regeneration in the Book of Changes. And this is a generalized pattern of salvation. Because this is the pattern of salvation. God, Jesus from God, sent to sinners, and sinners through believing Jesus testify God's power or God's glory. And this is also the process of how God creates the human being, a living soul from dust. So you can see that this universal cyclic paradigm indeed is representing something deep, which is from the perspective of general revelation, which is the process of generation of all natural resources. And in the from the perspective of special revelation, it is the pattern of salvation. So this pattern is not just a narrow pattern for spirituality, but it's also useful for see the foundations. You know, it shed great light to the foundations of science. If you look at all the classic physics, all the branches, major branches of classic physics, each branch has exactly the four fundamental laws. Why it's not five? Why it's not three? Exactly four. And they are logically related to follow the pattern of universal cyclic paradigm. And one represents truth, the other represents falsehood, and one is called justifier, the other is the testifier. So even, I will explain this later in details, but even the so-called the sum of rule, the rule of thumb, the structure-property relationship in chemistry and material science is just a part of this, one link of this universal cyclic paradigm. The full principle is like this. The code, including physical laws, laws of quantum mechanics, and the rules, and relates the rules, determines the structure through a mechanism, which is how the microparticles are moved or interact with each other. And the structure determines the property. The property reflects the laws of quantum mechanics or the codes. So this is the type of pattern we emphasize. This is the type of pattern of cell vision. So I would regard science is the redemption of human ignorance by the grace of truth, rather than a triumphant conquer of the end of world by humanity. So this is something very interesting. It gives us the more accurate perspective of scientific discovery. So we have the paradox of reality and fundamental tension as the first principle. And the second principle is the universal cyclic paradigm. And the creation of the six-day creation can be classified into three pairs, day one and day four, day two and day five, day three and day six. And each pair gives another universal principle of reality. So day one is principle of yin yang, and day two is principle of void and field. Day three is the principle of hard soft. So these are the first 3 days. I just use very, very simple, highly simple, simplified images to show the universal principle. And these later 3 days use a diverse the creation to show how the universe universe is ordered aesthetically following this reciprocal replication. The reciprocal mean, by reciprocal, I mean it's both negative and the positive way. For example, this is the day four, you create the, you actually replicate the day and night. Day is the positive way, which is the, you know, the minor part is the sheet. The major part is the light. And night is just the opposite. The major part is the darkness, and the minor part is light. So it's the day five, the fish and the bird. Fish is the filled in void. The birds are filled in void. Filled in void. Fish are void in field. So that's this, day six, the plants and the animals are just the reciprocal replication of the hard and soft. And the animals can be reflexible because they can move everywhere. So it's, but it has a rigid bone system, rigid body system. So it's hard and soft. But the plants are soft and hard because they cannot move. But they are actually, they have life. Their inside is active. So you can see the order of the universe is very transparent. With these three universal principles, we can even see the aesthetic order of signs. So let me first explain the principle of yin yang. The yin yang has a very rich meaning in the Book of Changes. All these are meanings are the major meanings. But from the perspective of physics or science, we focus on the energy and message. Because message gives you meaning. And energy provides the driving force. These are the two major yang components in physics. Then let's think it deeply. What is the origin of energy? What is the origin of message or information? So when Newton founded the classical physics, he work out the first the three fundamental laws of motion, but the universal law of gravitation was the discovery that even Newton himself feel that is unbelievable. This is a quote from Newton. He said, "It is inconceivable that inanimate brute matter should, without the mediation of something else which is non-material, operate upon and affect the other matter without the mutual contact." So this shows us how actually Newton and his contemporary was confused or was puzzled by this universal law of gravitation. And the significance of this universal law of gravitation is really the first principle of force. So it is a transcendent force field that is codified the power of God. And it determines the order of everything. It actually makes everything in order. It keeps everything in order. And also it is a source of energy because it conserves energy. And of course, this force, universal gravitation is just the first discovered force field. Now we now know we have four types of fundamental forces, right? Even the solar energy is basically caused by the strong nuclear force. So you can see that this codified God's power as the source of energy is really the origin of both energy and information. So this is so important for physics and for science. It is without this kind of codified power and energy and information, according to the second law of thermodynamics, everything will be messed up. You have no information. So Max Planck gave very deep interpretation of this. He said all matter originates and exists only by virtue of the force. So you see, you know, we probably can understand it exists in a form, right? But actually Planck said this is not enough. It actually goes deeper because the force itself creates the matter. And we now understand this is totally true because the energy creates the mass inside the nuclear. Because when the force is so strong, the mass of the nuclear particle, of the nuclear, let's say a proton or a neutron, if you count the mass of the proton or neutron, it's just much, much bigger. The mass is much bigger than the quarks inside. And 97% of mass is actually is the bonded energy. So Max Planck deeply understand that since that time. And this is actually, you know, supports the paradoxical reality. So yeah, and the Chinese philosophy 1,000 years ago realized that when matter is formed of energy, formed from energy, the information must be automatically encoded in its form. With form, you always see information. If there's no information, you have no form at all. So the form of matter will collapse. And even the very existence of matter will collapse without a form, without the information. That's why for the simplest system, not just the very complex biological system, need information. Even the very simple system, like a molecule, like an atom, without the information, without the rules of quantum mechanics, and you don't have any form. That's why when we are doing first principle modeling of any materials, you write millions of lines of code. Why? Because you have to use that information. Otherwise, you don't have any form. You don't have any form. So you can see that the ancient thinkers are really deep, much deeper than many of the modern scientists philosophically. So this principle of yin yang actually, is everywhere. So from the positive charge and negative charge in the fundamental building block of matter, to the electronegativity of elements, to the type of chemical reaction, even the flavor of food is created by this type of polarity. Without the polarity, this is just fiber, no flavor. But if you introduce the polarity with some elements with the bigger electronegativity, you immediately create all kinds of flavors. So this all supports that principle of yin yang in the created world. So this is a recent work I did with Rice University, and this Dr. James Turow's group recently synthesized some very nice turbostratic graphene. He asked me to model the process. You know, initially I just used the constant temperature, and I found it is almost impossible for the structure to form in the practical time scale, and normally it forms, always forms some kind of amorphous structure. But if I use the principle of yin yang and set the temperature fluctuates from the high to low and repeats the refluctuation, and the crystallization, very nice crystallization is formed in a very short time scale, which is about 100 picosecond. So this is actually mimics the experimental condition, which is very far from equilibrium, and temperature fluctuation is very dramatic. So the Voigtian field, you can see that the Voigtian field, this is a scripture, and this Lao Tzu gives the example, very simple example, shows that the void is so critical for activity. And before Roosevelt discovered this model of atom, everybody believed the atom is just a solid particle filled with matter. But his discovery was startling to the people because he found that actually inside the atom, basically, it is just a void. And 99% of the mass is concentrated in a part called the nuclear, which the volume is almost negligible compared to the whole volume of the atom. So with this free space, and you create this electronic states using quantum mechanics. So you can see the high tension inside this building block of materials. And also we find it in chemistry. And these elements, the electronic shells are totally filled, so they are inactive. Only you have void, it becomes active. It is also true for solid. If it is totally filled and totally empty, then it is inactive. This is an insulator for conductor. If you want the electron to be conducted, the valence band must be partially filled. You cannot fill them all. So this is active, this is not active. And even for the light, if you pack the same space with the full spectrum of light, then you kill the color. You kill the color. Only you disperse in space, you see the color. So this is also the principle of Voigtian field. So hard soft is reflecting the fundamental properties of matter. So particle, wave particle duality is actually reflection of this principle. And the most interesting is that the hard nuclear moves in a soft classical way, but the soft electron confined in the hard quantum by the very strong Coulomb force, it will be confined in the very hard quantum modes. It has a discrete states. And this discrete states, once it is filled by electron, it becomes so hard and it even sustain a high pressure, extremely high pressure at the center of the Earth, which is the 3.5 million bar. You can see that even at such extremely high pressure, you cannot break the field electron structure. A soft mode of motion becomes so hard inside. And all this type of physical design is observing this principle of hard and soft. But basically, these five universal principles can be read from Genesis chapter 1. The paradox to reality or fundamental tension, and second one is the second one is the cyclic paradigm, and the rest of the three, the principle of yin yang, principle of hard and soft, and principle of Voigtian field. Thank you.
Thank you, Yufeng. Can you tell us more about where yin and yang come from, or the Book of Changes, the individual or a group of people who wrote that or created, how would you describe them, and where might they have found their inspiration from?
Basically, yin and yang is the Book of Changes called the two modes. Two modes, they are actually constructed to each other because yang is representing the truth and the yin representing the falsehood. The falsehood is basically the created thing, and truth is the creator. This is the original meaning. But now, it is when it is applied to the created world, it's just something that is more active. It's called yang. something is more ordered, it's called yang. Something is less active or disordered, it's called yin. So this has a very rich meaning, but with Chinese classics, you know, just use as symbols, like mathematical symbols, rather than just a very specific concept.
Thank you. Very interesting. Lots to think about. A lot of it resonated, and there's a lot of beautiful symmetry in your talk. And you might have just started to address my question, but the only part that made me a little uncomfortable was equating earth and physical with the falsehood. And I'm wondering if there's like a moral problem, you know, with those. Comfort that I've always gotten is thinking of the physical world not as bad, but as good and worthy of our consideration. Yeah. So I wonder maybe if falsehood, if I shouldn't understand that to mean bad, or that is what you mean.
That's a very good question. This is indeed a very subtle thing, because when the ancient Chinese thinkers use some concept, they are using it not for good or bad. They're really representing just the two opposing thing elements. You know, they are more broader. They're much more broader than good and bad. Of course, when I say that yang is more similar to God's nature, and yin is more similar to the created the world, but I have no intention to say that is bad, because when God created all things is good in God's eyes, but they aesthetically they compensate with each other to show the harmony which is in God's creation.
So I think if I remember what my mom taught me from a Chinese culture, I think yin and yang came from Taoism.
From what?
Taoism. Dou, right?
And Taoism. That's right.
Okay. And the Book of Change is Yi Jing, right?
Yi Jing,
okay.
Yeah.
So my only little caution is that there is a element, I'm not saying you implied it, I'm saying in terms of public communication, there is an implication in the general understanding of Taoism that the belief that the world operate by these principles as a thing to believe, as a religion, and that as a person of faith, we need to be very cautious to point out the difference, because the God who created the universe is above these Taoism, is above these principles. And that's how Jesus can, calm the sea, and God can part the Red Sea, and the God is above his creation versus, I'm not saying I'm a expert in Taoism. Whatever I know is from my history, but if I remember correctly, and my mom could correct me if I remember her teaching incorrectly, that there is a belief of religion that the Taoism operate in this earth as our belief. Like, if we put our trust in this way of yin-yang work, life is good. Which is very, very different from Christianity, to say,
true.
My God created the universe, that whatever he created is under him. And if he want to part the Red Sea, he part the Red Sea. And if he want to, calm the storm, he calm the storm. And that's a very interesting distinction. I just want to point that out.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I think this is a very good comment. It is quite misleading, because the Taoism as a religion developed out of the Tao Te Ching very late stage of history, and it's mostly distorted. It's actually the Book of Changes, the core part of the Book of Changes is really created about 4,000 years ago, which is which is much earlier than those than even Confucius, the commentary on the Book of Changes. So a lot of religions are based on Taoism, but I believe personally they are actually idolized something from Taoism. They are not the original Taoism, because I consider the Tao Te Ching is just like a commentary on the Book of Changes, because the Book of Changes is just a very old book. So philosophical commentary is given by Lao Tzu in the form of Tao Te Ching, and another called the Ten Winds, 10 volume of commentary on the Book of Changes is made by Confucius, is actually considered now as part of the classics. So yeah, there's a difference. We have to be very cautious not to idolize the classics. Yeah.
So yes, I agree with that. So I'll make one short comment. Mm. So I think the differentiation is your source of trust. Because I do know Chinese that their source of trust is in this Yam Yang Taoism. Mm. Mm. Our source of trust is God himself. I think that's the major differentiation.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you. We have one more up here, I think, and that'll probably have to be it.
Thank you for this presentation. It was wonderful. I think you talked about the intermingling of contraries, right, with yin and yang. And there are a lot of parallels even in Hinduism and Buddhism. And I'm just wondering, in terms of the Christian faith, how you'd explain transcendent agency, for instance, God, within this context?
Good question. I think, God, we should not consider the yin-yang as God. We should even have to avoid to consider the yin-yang represent the two parts of God. That's not true. That's certainly not true. Yin-yang is the two modes in God's creation, two modes of God's creation. They are all kind of language to characterize God's creation or to characterize the aesthetic order of the creation. There's nothing we should consider that these two parties are just a part of God. No.
Let's thank Yufeng and all the speakers.